are they? Are they?
This is the Skywatch Hour on the Blog and Broadcast Service. I'm your host, Jim Hickman. For the next hour, we'll be discussing UFOs, news in the world of UFOs, it's the most recent sighting reports, and we'll have some information on the group Skywatch International, which I am the executive director. Hey, we'll be doing the show every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central, and we're calling it the Skywatch Hour. I guess we should probably first start with a little background on me. As I said, my name is Jim Hickman. I'm the executive director of Skywatch International. And I'm a disclosure project representative, and I work with MUFON as a research specialist, and I have been in ufology over 30 years now. Many of you know me from my past radio shows across other networks, and maybe from my TV appearances or my books. We'll talk a little bit more about my books later. You may have seen a recent History Channel show called The UFO Files Cattle Mutilations. That was me. So, we have a lot to talk about in the show, and not a lot of time to do it, so let's get started. The first thing we should probably bring up is the world of news. As you know, my group, Skywatch International, has some of the best sources for credible UFO news from around the world. We have over 4,500 news sources that we cull stories from. A few of the highlighted stories we're going to talk about today. The first one is titled, The Martians Aren't Coming. British UFO spotting clubs may have to close because of a lack of sightings. And have the little green men really stopped visiting? Or do we Earthlings have just bigger things to worry about? This is something that is a problem over in the UK, a lack of sightings. And, of course, that's something that we're not lacking at all here in the United States. As we'll talk about a little later, we will be bringing you the entire last week's sightings as written by the people who turn in these sighting reports to us here at Skywatch or to our vice president's site, George Filer's Filer's Files. So hopefully you'll stay with us for that, and that'll be coming up in just a minute. So this report in the British media is about the Cumbrian branch of the British UFO hunters, about how they're not having much to do. So they don't seem to be any UFOs in Canberra anymore. Well, they've all come over here to the U.S. The next big item in the news this last week is a noted skeptic, Philip J. Klass, passed away. Now, Phil Klass was a senior editor at Aviation Week and Space Technology for 35 years. After his retirement, he continued to write technical articles for the magazine until the 1990s. Inside the UFO community, he was best known as a debunker and became something of a legend. And I've worked with him myself in the past, and he's not an easy guy to work with. He is very, very skeptical, but I think we managed to convince him that at least there is some evidence out there that needs to be looked at a little closer by people in the scientific community. And we do mark the passing of Philip Klass. As the report says here, it says, Philip Klass now knows the truth. Oh, and a kind of a funny story comes out of the UK, town Cracknell. Flying saucer surgeons cured my dodgy back is the title of the story. And as you know, we sometimes get a little offbeat stories in this field. You might enjoy this one. Russia reports to the news about UFO sightings over Brackle have promoted one man to go one better since he's been operated on by aliens. Gentleman's name is Terry Walters. He's 62. He wants anyone who has had an extraterrestrial encounter to get in touch. In 1966, apparently Mr. Walters was left in agony when his back gave way, and he faced a trip to the doctors and possible confinement to a wheelchair. And as he was laying in bed one night, someone entered his room and told him to follow him. When he awoke, his back had been cured. He went to the hospital in Heatherwood to ask the surgeon who operated on him. Staff denied any knowledge of it. Further tests showed he had undergone then impossible back surgery, apparently by aliens. Let's see. We have another file here that came in this last week called Our X Files. And I guess that's a reference to that Chris Carter show that was on for many years on, was it Sci-Fi Channel or one of those networks. Talking about hidden files, cover-ups, and pressure on witnesses to forget the UFOs that they saw. These are the Queensland X-Files. And this comes from our good friends down at the Australian UFO Research Center, and investigator Dominic McNamara spent 2 years uncovering restricted files from the federal government's top secret national archives. For the first time, the Sunday Mail is able to disclose 3 sightings previously marked classified and deemed to be a matter of national security. They say there's little doubt the files detailing UFO sightings between 1950 and 1970 were deliberately hidden or made difficult to find. We're under the impression that some files are yet to be found, or are they in somewhat deeper than we will never be able to get a look at. The area around Queensland seems to have had a spate of sightings, which they have no explanation. And the area there in Australia is a hot spot. We get videos in here at Skywatch quite often, and some of them are pretty remarkable. When we do get videos or reports like this, I guess I should probably stop here and tell you what we do at Skywatch. We are a sighting investigation. We're a education group. We're out to educate people to the reality of the UFO presence and that we are not alone in the universe. And we do this as a non-profit group. We are a registered non-profit organization in the U.S. government. And we're one of the top 3 groups in the world. I guess there's MUFON's probably there with us, the Mutual UFO Network, and KUFOS, the group started by the late Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And Skywatch has been around for quite a few years. I've been vice president of Skywatch since 1997, became executive director last year. And we have people in over 100 countries around the world. We have investigators in every state in the United States. And we have some of the top investigators in the field. And some of our staff you may be familiar with. I mentioned my vice president, George Filer. We also have Jim Mars is with us. He's our director of conspiracy investigations. You may know him. He's pretty well known around the field. We also have a professional lobbyist that works for us, a gentleman named Steve Bassett. He's very well known in the UFO field. And he's a great speaker and a personal friend of ours. Steve's a great guy, and he provides Skywatch's voice to the U.S. government. He's right there in Washington, D.C. We also have a legal consultant here, just in case we get ourselves in trouble. We have Peter A. Gersten, Esquire. He, of course, is the gentleman that used to run CAUSE, the Citizens Against UFO Secrecy. He now works with us as our legal consultant. We have a media consultant, too, Jerry Pippin, out of Muskogee, Oklahoma, good friend of ours, and a broadcaster. And he helps us out whenever he can. with interviews and going around to conventions and things. We're really glad to have him working with us. Daryl Sims is our director of physical evidence. He's down in Houston, Texas. You may know him as the Alien Hunter. And he's been all around the world talking about UFOs and helping us out with just great work. And I highly recommend him and his website. John Nowinski's new to us. He is a director of government surveillance. He works a website called The Smoking Gun. And met him up in Dearborn, Michigan about 2 years ago at a MUFON symposium that we're both speaking at. And we became pretty good friends, and we work together on this sort of thing now. And he's over in Connecticut, and we're glad to have him with us. We have an unusual animal death consultant that works with us, Chris O'Brien. He's a UFO authority and author. He has written on the cattle mutilation phenomenon for years. This is over in a place called the Mysterious Valley. It's up near Alamosa, Colorado. And we work with Chris on a regular basis. He's helped us out on some TV shows, and he's helped me out with my new book that's coming out in the near future. My new book is also on animal deaths and cattle mutilations in relationship to UFOs. My new book is called The Rancher's Nightmare, and it will be coming out sometime soon. Contract signed. We are just waiting for it to appear in the bookstores. So we'll talk about that and the other books available through Skywatch a little bit later. I just can't get away from our staff without mentioning my good friend Dennis Balthizer. He's our chief Roswell investigator out of Roswell, New Mexico, and one of my best friends. Him and his wife Debbie get to me and my wife Debbie all the time. And we last had an adventure up in Aztec, New Mexico earlier this year, where we were both speakers. He was the director of the whole operation there. And we had a huge, huge crowd, a great time. Citizens up there in Aztec were great to us. And their UFO festival went over great, and we're looking forward to coming back next year. We also have Richard Dolan, who's a very famous UFO person. You may have seen him on TV shows such as UFO Files. And he works with us as a researcher and speaker. Travis Walton is with us. Travis is an abductee who was abducted out in Arizona back in the 70s. You may have seen a movie made about him called Fire in the Sky. And he's our abduction researcher, and we're really proud to have him working with us. And we have a bunch more people. I don't think we have enough time to mention everybody. We'll come back next week, and we'll mention some more of our staff. And you can go to our website at Skywatch and take a look at everything we have to offer, including bios on all of our staff and what we do and what we are. Our website address is www.skywatch-international.org. That's www.skywatch-international.org. And we'd be glad to have you come by and take a look. Everything we have there is free. We'd be glad to have you join our free mailing list. We have a Yahoo group where you can keep up with the latest UFO news all around the world just by signing up. It's a free service, and we are glad to provide it to you. Okay, we're going to go back and take a look at some sighting reports that have come in. But first, I want to mention that we are going to be here every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, with the Skywatch Hour. And we hope you enjoy what we're doing. We hope it's informative. And we'll be here every Thursday night here on the Blog and Broadcast Service. And with that, let's get back to some sighting reports. The first reports we're going to be covering tonight are courtesy of our good friend George Filer. He's MUFON's Eastern Director, my Vice President, and he runs a website called Filer's Files. We've had UFOs this last week. We're seeing over Arizona, California, Florida, New York, Illinois, North Carolina, Ohio, Texas, and Virginia. Also, sightings reported in the countries of Argentina, Australia, Canada, Crimea, Ukraine, and the United Kingdom, and Venezuela. So a lot of reports just from George's site over this last week, and we'll try and at least bring a few of these to you and let you see what we deal with, see what comes in, and I'll just read them as they are given to us and maybe give a little commentary. The reason I want to comment on these is because I have done UFO reports and gone out and done investigation field work for over 30 years and investigated literally thousands of these cases. So I have a little bit of insight into what's going on with them, and maybe we can figure these things out together. And that's what this show is about, is to inform and educate and maybe occasionally to have some fun. So let's see what's happening in the world of ufology tonight. First off, I guess they had a flying aircraft carrier in New Hampshire. And I'm not really sure if we really want to get into that or not, but it's pretty heavy. We have a report of that here in Oklahoma not too long ago. I'll tell you guys that story someday. It's pretty in-depth. But UFOs are getting bigger. We had a mile-wide one reported here, right here in my hometown. And this sounds very similar to the report that we had. Okay, this is called a New Hampshire UFO mothership. And this is in the famous UFO town called Exeter, New Hampshire, a place where many UFOs have been seen over the years. Now, the report is an instructor flight engineer on a P-3 Orion, an EP-3 reconnaissance aircraft with 10,000 hours of flight time, called our friend Peter Davenport to report an enormous silver-shaped cigar-type object appeared in the sky about 40-degree angle above the horizon about 3:15 p.m. on July 20, 2005. He reports there are very few clouds in the sky, and it was about 90% clear, and he had excellent visibility. He was shocked to see a very clear, large, cigar-shaped object covering almost motionless backdrop by this clear blue sky, and had a west wind at 9 miles per hour, he states. Says, I am a retired Navy chief with 22 years of service. I work for Boeing in Everett, Washington, as a quality assurance manager and leading a team of 65 people in the systems installation division of the Boeing 777 production line. I've flown over the entire globe, and never have I seen anything like this cylinder. The object was about twice the size of a modern-day U.S. Navy Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, and was flying without sound. He reports, I thought it was between 2,500 and 3,500 feet in altitude, because the clouds were at 5,000 feet. There was also a row of large windows, evenly spaced around the entire perimeter of the object, a little bit higher than center on the object. This object was moving from the west directly towards me, heading in an easterly direction and moving very slowly at less than 100 knots. There was a strange-looking cloud of orange-red flames that started growing and billowing underneath the entire bottom of the object. The billowing fiery clouds reminded me of the way napalm rolls along on vintage war film footage of Vietnam I've seen on television. He said there's no smoke associated with it. Looked as if the air itself had been suddenly ignited in a large cloud of flames. Just as I was about to run and turn into the house, due to fear, the fiery cloud grew larger and seemed to be pushing back towards the western end of the object, and once it reached the peak, which he says probably about the half the diameter of the object seemed to stretch out about twice its original size towards the eastern end of the object, thus filling the entire sky in front of me, and then in the wink of the eye, the western end of the object caught up with the eastern end, and it simply disappeared right in front of me. He describes this as absolutely one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. In my opinion, this was not something man-made, and it was far too big to be a blimp or an airplane. I believe it was not of this earth. And Peter Davenport, who is our National UFO Reporting Center director, was impressed by his demeanor, eloquence, and apparent sincerity. And there's more information, including photos, at Peter's site at www.ufocenter.com. All right, before I go to our first break here, I want to mention that you can buy my books online at our website at skywatch-international.org. I have 3 books out. My first book is titled 5,000 Years of UFOs, Are We Really Alone? And that is a book that details my adventures as my publisher states, as one of the leading UFO researchers in the world. States that I add special humor and insight into real UFO sightings and reports. And we also cover the history of UFOs going back to before the Egyptians. My second book, which came out last July, is titled The Alien Menace. This covers a touchy subject that we explored with the History Channel and also with the In Search Of show on the Sci-Fi Channel, TV episodes, a couple of them on this, including animal mutilations and human mutilations. We have some pretty good documented evidence in there. And the new book is titled The Rancher's Nightmare, Mysterious Murder of Livestock. It's plagued farmlands around the globe for generations. And those are available on our website, and I encourage you to come by, take a look. We have also have CDs, CDs from some of our talks that we've given around the country, DVDs. A good DVD that you could pick up is called A Blood-Soaked Paper Trail, Medical Evidence of Abductions and Human Mutilations. This is me speaking at the AOD conference in Roswell, New Mexico in 2004. And that's available on our website. We have many other things available. We'll talk about those a little bit later in the show. We're going to take a look. And we're back. This is the Skywatch Hour. I'm your host, Jim Hickman. And we're broadcasting tonight on the Blogging and Broadcast Service. I'd like to thank them for having us here and hope you guys enjoy the information we're presenting. And if you have any questions or would like to contact us, you can go to our website at skywatch-international.org. You can email me directly at director@skywatchinternational.org because I am the director. All right. I hope you guys enjoy this. I know I'm really enjoying getting this information out to you. And if you have any suggestions for the show or any comments, you know, send it in. That's what this is all about. We're kind of an interactive show, and we'd like to meet with you guys. And we'll be here every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central. And kind of the format, what we're going to be doing, is a little bit of news, information, some sighting reports, some commentary, and we will be, as we go along, we'll be adding special guests coming into the studio, visiting with us. Some big names in the business. We pretty much know everybody, have worked with them in the past, and we will have them in here to visit with us. And I think we'll be bringing that on in the next few weeks as we continue with the show, as we get things moving along. But tonight, we're just going to give you an idea of what we do here at Skywatch and how UFO reports are handled, and basically what we do. I hope you enjoy it. One thing I guess we should probably first mention, for folks that aren't really familiar with UFOs, what it's all about, UFOs come in all shapes and sizes. Some are only small spots of lights that move in strange patterns across the sky. These are called nocturnal lights. They're the most commonly reported type of UFOs. And for professional investigators, they're not the most interesting because there's little detail and there's not really much we can learn from them. Faraway objects, often disc or saucer-shaped, seen in the daytime, are called daylight discs. And when UFOs approach much closer to the witness, we usually say within 500 feet. These sightings are called close encounters. And UFOs are basically unidentified flying objects. No one really knows what they are. I don't think I can really say I know exactly what they are, or any other researchers or even scientists know exactly what they are. We have theories what they'd be. But because we can't examine one in a scientific laboratory, all of our ideas are really only educated guesses. We can't offer a definition of UFOs that you might find useful. UFO is a reported sighting of an object or light seen in the sky or the land whose appearance, trajectory, actions, motions, lights, and colors do not have logical, conventional, or natural explanation, and which cannot be explained. not only by the original witness, but by scientists or technical experts who try to make a common sense identification after identifying the evidence. So I hope that helps you understand what a UFO is. It's not just something that the witness can't identify, or even the eye can't identify. It's something that scientific experts can't identify. And we're not the only people that have explored the UFO phenomenon. The United States Air Force looked into this for years, from 1947, I believe, up to the 1968-69 time frame, and they investigated some 12,000 sightings. And of that, over 700 of them are still remain unknown to this day. And, IFOs. I'm sure you've heard of UFOs. Well, we also have things called IFOs. What the heck is an IFO? Well, I think that's an easy one. It's called an Identified Flying Object. A lot of people look at UFOs, or something they can't see in the sky, and they don't know what it is. A trained investigator can look at it and say, yes, I know what it is, and it becomes an identified object. About 90 to 95% of all UFO reports end up being IFOs. Now, people can misidentify things like planet Venus, stars, even weather balloons can be mistaken. It's very easy to see something that defies identification at first look that becomes identifiable when you do a little bit more investigating, a little bit more research. So that's something you have to be very careful of in ufology, is to make sure that all the possible explanations can be considered first before we go out and just declare it a UFO or aliens up there. So we do a little bit of scientific work. We have professional scientists that work in the field with us. We have people all the way up to doctors who work with Skywatch who look at these, look at our evidence, and help us to identify what we're dealing with. All kinds of people see UFOs, by the way. Even presidents see UFOs. Ronald Reagan saw a UFO back in 1974. Jimmy Carter saw a UFO. It's very, very common. The chances for you seeing a UFO are greater if you happen to live in a small town or in the country. The reason for that is because you can see the stars and you have a larger area of view. If you live in a city, one of the main things that you can do if you want to see a UFO is to look up in the sky. You'd be surprised how many people walk through the day, throughout the night, and never look up. You can't see a UFO if you don't look for it. So I try and spend some time every day, every evening, looking out at the night sky, just to be able to say that, yes, I'm looking. And you'd be surprised what you can see up there. You can see stars, planets, of course, aircraft. You can see satellites flying over if you get your eyes acclimated to the area. So, once again, if you want to see a UFO, go out and look. And that's the best advice I have for you. Let's get back to some UFO reports. We talked about the New Hampshire UFO, which is a pretty impressive sighting. I've got to say, that very impressive. We had a report from Modesto, California come in on July 7th, about 8:50 p.m. This report is of a cylindrical-shaped craft, and says, I've studied the July 7th pictures, which we have on the website, included that may have been some type of aircraft. And a series of lights that run parallel may have been strobe lights on the wings of the plane. The explosion could have caused this repeating pattern as the strobe lights flashed as the plane moved. In this 6-second exposure, the strobe light appeared twice, once in the beginning of the exposure and again at the end of the exposure. I can't quite explain why the strobe lights didn't just show up as streaks of light if this was indeed a plane. So one can see in the photo, the strobe lights, if that's what they were, shows up as individual spheres of light. He says he's gone out several times tonight since then and took shots of airplanes above my residence using the same camera settings and was unable to duplicate this photo. Nothing even came close. And the photo enhancement that I'm looking at was made by our good friend Don Burleson, who's MUFON's New Mexico director. And he's been a guest on our radio show many times, the old show, and we'll try and get him back on this show. and have him come on talk about UFOs in New Mexico. Dr. Bruce McAbee, who is our photo analysis expert here at Skywatch, he also works with MUFON, and is a good friend of ours, great piano player too, if he's listening. He writes about this Modesto sighting that the strobe lights show up as dots rather than streak of lights because they're brief flashes. They're not on long enough for the plane to travel a noticeable distance. For example, a plane traveling about 200 miles per hour travels about 290 feet in 1 second. But during the time of the strobe flash, about 1/1000th of a second, it travels less than a foot. The image of a steady light on an airplane should be a streak or line that is as long as the distance of the plane traveling during the shutter time. For example, a 200 mile per hour airplane travels about 1760 feet in 6 seconds. This distance would make a noticeably long streak or line image. Experiments should be done to determine what the image of several type planes show when photographed at night with a 6 second exposure time. So as you see, we have doctors, scientific experts look at our evidence, and they give us pretty good clues as to what we're dealing with. And you know, somebody could have looked at the photo and said, yep, that's a UFO for sure. And we've had experts look at it, and we pretty much narrowed it down to, yes, this is an airplane. All right, on to another sighting in California from Burbank, down outside of L.A., and we'll just read this one as it was reported. It says, I'm a backyard astronomer, and on July 15th at 2:24 a.m., I saw two silent objects in my telescope following each other in a triangular shape, emitting gold-colored sparks. The objects looked like they were made of a cloth-like material. Each object had two firing retro rockets that were gold, and each had a rectangular-shaped LED screen in it near the same area. The LEDs seemed to be displaying something. They looked like they were approaching the Burbank Airport slowly and seemed to float as the sparks were emitted. This sighting lasted 10 minutes and only ended when the objects burned up in the west-southwest sky. Interesting. They came to the National UFO Center. Let's see, the next report comes also from California, from Sonora. Mark A. Olson, DM, had a sighting of a glowing object on July 19, 2005 at 9:12 p.m. He says, the object appeared over my home. The object was very bright and slow-moving and did not make a sound. The glowing object was trailing a conventional aircraft, and both were flying due south. The object was videotaped for about 3 minutes before it disappeared behind the branch of a tree. A curious flash appeared just below this object at the beginning of the above video clip. The flash was observed during the videotaping. When the video was reviewed, the flash appeared in only one frame. He has the video clip posted at his website at www.sonorasightings.com. Okay, so that's a pretty good sighting, got to admit. And let's go back and just mention a few things that's going on with Skywatch in the near future. We have a bunch of upcoming events. We just got back from doing several conferences throughout Texas and Colorado. We've got some exciting stuff coming up in the future. In October, we're going to have an event called the UFO Alien and Prophecy Cruise, and we'll be having some of Skywatch's staff there with them, and we have more information on that up on our website. And upcoming in the near future, we have the third annual UFO conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, and there will be several of our staff there, and should be pretty entertaining. I hope you guys will enjoy going to those. Next year, we've got all kinds of things going on. We've got the big Roswell Festival in July. We've got the Aztec Convention up in New Mexico, and on and on. And we have a whole section of our website just dedicated to upcoming events, and you can take a look at that. I guess we could mention a few other things on our website while we're here. You can get audio-video clips of different radio shows that our staff have been on that they host. You can even listen to some of my old shows on there. We have entire TV shows that we've our staff have participated in. We have copies of those on there to take a look at. We have a bookshop. We can go ahead and look at books, CDs, and DVDs. We have a UFO forum, which is basically a get-together where everybody can come in and discuss their views. It's very popular. You could come file a UFO report with the National UFO Reporting Center through our site. We have a free mailing list, as I mentioned, through Yahoo, and you're welcome to join that for free. And just stop by our website, and you could pick that up. We have special reports, which list between 50 and 75 written reports from different staff. These are almost chapter length sort of reports from various authors who donate these to our site to kind of educate you of different issues. Some of the more recent reports that have come in to us for you folks to look at and get information on. One is on Men in Black. We call it Men in Black Facts. That just came in and covers the Men in Black phenomenon going back to the Middle Ages. We have Understanding UFOs and the Media. This is by Richard M. Dolan, who's on our staff. We have UFO Show Reply Concerning Bovine Human Blood. And the expert that was on there, it's very interesting, kind of messed up. We've got evidence, scientific evidence, proving that the expert, the pathologist on the TV show, was wrong. Well, we've got all kinds of other reports here, the ABC UFO shows, comments, Brookings report, you name it. There's, as I said, 50 to 75 different reports on there. And it's all free. You can come in and read it and enjoy it. And share it with your friends. Once again, our website is www.skywatch-international.org. And we're available 24 hours, 7 days a week to help you. If you see something you can't explain, contact us.
What's happening? What's happening? Who are they? And I think they want to share. Hey!
Stranger than land, stranger than sea. I was driving my car on a lonesome road. Then what happened made my mind explode. I was abducted by aliens. Oh, to my surprise, rocking with the aliens. What a sight to see. Rocking with the aliens. The aliens and me. Little gray men were trying to hide the dust and sea. My surprise, some were alive, some were dead. Most of them spoke out the middle of their heads. Rocking with the aliens, what a sight to see. Rocking with the aliens and me. That I was there. Finally they let me go. In the holy name of rock and roll. Rocking with the aliens, what a sight to see. Rocking with the aliens to me.
Yeah. black holes. ETs on the move. Asteroids beware. Sunrise here, sundown there. Swords of light here as many as your time. Look over there, it's my zodiac sign.
Sighting reports. We have several sources that we use for sighting reports. Not only do we have George Filer's reports, but we also have the UFO Roundup, which is done weekly by our good friend Joseph Trainer. And John Hayes sends that to us every week. And we're going to be looking at the August 17th edition tonight. Apparently, the first story here comes to us from the Crimea. Reptoids threaten UFO researcher in Crimea. And I guess let's just read this and see where it goes. And then we're going to be taking another break after we read this, and then we'll get into our final segment. The UFO flap in Crimea, an autonomous region north of the Ukraine bordering the Black Sea, reached a new level with a close encounter of the third kind, which is a face-to-face encounter between a ufologist and four strange entities. He describes them as reptoids, either reptoid or some sort of reptilian creature. They were scaly, lizard-like beings with four fingers. On Sunday, July 17th, 2005, he was at his office, and I won't even try to pronounce the name of the town, and it's near Simferopol Airport, and it's a small village. I will spell it for you if you'd like. KOMSOMOLSKOYE. Komsolsky, maybe? Well, anyway, he was at this office in the village when he describes the aliens barging in. They surrounded him, who was sitting at his desk, and he blinked in disbelief. The entity pointed his scaly clawed finger at him and hissed, "You know too much about UFOs." The strange visitation came to end of a series of UFO sightings during the previous week. He reports in the middle of July, he was driving his automobile east of town when he saw a disc-shaped object hovering over the pine forest southeast of the reservoir. This disc was seen in broad daylight, had a high central dome, and a broader protruding flat bottom. The disc-shaped craft was visibly metallic. The witness's car engine malfunctioned, and he appeared, as he described it, under emanations from the alien craft. Now, this is very common that when we see close encounters with crafts like this. A lot of vehicle electronic systems become affected by this. And we've had note of this since the Air Force first noted back in the 50s. Back in Loveland, Texas was one of the first cases that had this sort of thing, electronic phenomenon. It's almost like an electromagnetic pulse that just disables vehicles. And apparently he had the same thing. So, very strange. And he describes between Monday, July 11th, and Sunday, July 17th, he saw another spectacular UFO shaped like a humming top in the form of a high cone installed within another cone. Now, this is really hard for people to describe the things they've seen, so they try and relate it to something that they're familiar with. UFO is reported hovering at least several minutes over the village. Now, on Saturday, July 16th, another witness, a ufologist from the Ukraine, saw two bright overflights of UFOs in the early evening out from beyond the mountains over the Black Sea. He tried to photograph the objects, remarking that they were a beautiful sight. And then, on August 4th, while walking his dog in Lenino Square, between the Council of Ministers building and the Ukrainian Dramatic Theater, close to Lenin Monument, witness Viktor Zerdov saw a bright object continuously blinking a red light for 10 minutes, hovering in the northeast over the suburbs. The sighting lasted for approximately 9:45 to 9:55 p.m. He says the object couldn't have been an airplane navigation light because it was stationary, not moving. He describes that surely this wasn't a helicopter as well. It was totally soundless, and all helicopters, both the Mi-8s and Mi-2s, were on the tarmac at the airfield. Very interesting report, and we're going to keep our eye on that and see where it goes. We're going to take another real quick break, and we're back. This is Skywatch Hour. I'm your host, Jim Hickman. And we're back for our final segment. Continuing on with our sighting reports, we're going to cover a few more and then give you some more information how you can contact us and give you an idea of what's coming up in the future. Well, by the way, if you'd like to join our open chat during the show or during any of the shows that we have here on the network, on the blog and broadcast service, you can go to ICQ Groups. And our link there at the blog and website, and they'll get you right to it. And once again, if you'd like to go to our website and pick up archives of the show, you can do that. It's www.bloginservice.com, all one word, bloginservice.com. And we've got all kinds of stuff there, including archives. So if you have any questions and you'd like to contact me directly, once again, I'll give you out my website, which is www.skywatch-international.org. Or you can also email me at director@skywatch-international.org, and I will answer your email immediately. All right, back to the sighting reports. This next report comes to us from George Filer, Filer's Files, and it comes from Florida, Palm Harbor, Clearwater. On July 13th, 2005, the witness was floating around his pool on a raft, staring into the sky. At about 12:15 a.m., he describes, "I noticed a star I thought was different. 5 minutes later, after looking around the sky, I turned my head back to check on the planet star," as he describes it, "and it shot off at a direct angle downward and disappeared. This immediately made me jump up and lose my raft. After looking around in desperation to find where he'd gone, and also to make sure I was just seeing things, I saw a light in a spot in the sky where I hadn't remember seeing one. It was the exact same size, brightness, and color, white light gleaming with a slight green," he describes it. "While I got out of the pool to look at it, it was gone. I could not see it at all in the sky. I was facing the northwest sky when I had the sighting." All right, moving across the country to north central Georgia, three UFOs were seen. A lady in Georgia was taking cloud pictures in her backyard on July 18th, 2005. She describes when she took a picture, what she saw in one of them shocked her. And we have that picture up on the website at nationalufocenter.com. And moving up to the north part of the country, in Chicago last week, we had multiple bright dots of lights were observed hanging in the air. This is on July 9th, 2005. It's 17:15 p.m., so that would make it 5:15 p.m. The lights were viewed in a clear blue sky northwest of Chicago's downtown. The objects might have been dismissed as a bunch of shiny Mylar balloons. These hovered in place in spite of the winds aloft. These lights were observed for 10 minutes and were not planes, nor fireworks, nor light phenomenon. They resemble pictures of the recent Mexico flotilla or the 1947 Arnold film. Now, they're describing the case down in Mexico last year of some 12 to 14 objects flying around a Mexican Air Force craft. And we could probably be discussing that case in depth in the near future in an upcoming show. We did some very in-depth case study of that. And I think you'll enjoy listening into that, and we have some photos of that and video too. We'll talk about that case a little later. Going back to this sighting, 30 multiple lights seem to be hanging in the sky, he described. And this was in Chicago on the 9th of July, and that's called a cluster sighting, and very common, and they're very beautiful to see if you ever happen to actually see one. They're very, very, very pretty object. All right, onward. Indiana. And they describe this as a football shape. The reason I'm bringing all these to you is because you may not realize how many sightings go by here in the United States, around the world, in an average week. You have no idea how many cases. We literally can get up to hundreds in a week. Some people really, who aren't familiar with this, think there may just be a few sightings every year, or maybe even none. We over a year, we'll have over 1,000 sightings easy, and several major sightings in any given year. But these come to us weekly, and we like to have investigators go out and check them, and we report the initial reports to you just as they come in. And back to this is in Fort Wayne. The observer says, I was outside with a friend skywatching July 9th, 2005, around midnight when I saw an object flying over my house and pointed out to my friend. He did not see it as it lasted only 5 seconds. I clearly saw a football-shaped object with wings or some sort of appendages. It seemed to be self-lit and gave off a translucent pinkish light. The wings were vibrating very fast. It traveled in a straight line and did not deviate and disappeared by vanishing. Next morning, we looked at the newest crop circles from Silbury, UK, Silbury Hill in the UK, and the formation was discovered on July 9th and was remarkably similar in shape to the thing that I had seen. And you can get more information on that at www.ufocenter.com. Let's move back to a case from overseas. We've had sightings in England, in Devon and Nottinghamshire. Okay. Not familiar with that town, but in Devon, England. Friday, August 12th, 2005, at 12:20 a.m., the witness was at her home in Westwood, and when she saw something strange in the sky approaching from the southwest, she describes as I was sitting in the living room, and I heard a humming noise. So I looked out the window to see what it was, and all I saw was a triangular-shaped object with three white lights at each point. I guess they're describing a corner. And one red light in the middle, flying slowly over the house. She describes, I walked outside to watch it, and it must have taken at least 5 minutes to get completely out of range. It could have been a plane, but I've never seen one like this go so slow before. And that was an email report form. Another eyewitness reported, yesterday evening, that was August 13th, approximately 10:30 p.m., there's a series of bright orange moving lights in the sky over my neighborhood. And it's near Plimpton in Devon, UK. They're moving westward. Initially, it was possible to... Let me go back. It was lights flying together in some sort of formation. Looked like a star constellation till we spotted the lights moving towards us, and some were too bright and too orange in color to be stars. As lights got overhead, the formation changed. with one of the lights speeding up a bit faster than the other. No noise could be heard from the object, although there was road noise from the nearby motorway. Apparently, this is like a freeway here in the U.S. as motorway A38, which could have drowned out the faint sounds. After the first formation had gone, there came several more objects over the next 10 minutes. I think there were two occurrences of two lights together and then two single lights after that. The last object flew over and seemed to be lower than the others. As it got overhead, it seemed like you could make out a rectangular shape which appeared almost fluid. My friend, he says there were three of us present, said it looked like a jellyfish, I think because the shape appeared to be changing. All of them seemed to have a bright orange light at the front and back, or maybe on top, as you could see the lights, and they were coming towards us or going away. But the light was not visible when they were overhead. And that comes to us from UFO Roundup. Okay, I want to remind you guys that my books are available at the Skywatch website, and they're also available out there on the internet at Amazon.com, or you could go to your local bookstore. Barnes & Noble has them in stock. I understand most of the larger Walmart stores have them in stock. And just ask for books by Jim Hickman, and they will have them there for you, or if they don't, they can order them for you. And if not, contact me directly by email. I will send you one out here from my office. I will personally sign one for you. And hope you enjoy it. As I should probably also mention just real quickly that we have not only do we have CDs and books, we have DVDs too. And one of my recent DVDs is called Backroads of the Universe: Unusual UFO Encounters in History. This was a DVD of me speaking at the MUFON 2003 symposium in Dearborn, Michigan. It's available in audio, video, and DVD. And you can get that through our friends at Lost Arts Media, or you can contact me directly here at Skywatch. And it's a really good DVD. We also have CDs. We have a new one. It's called the Alien Menace CD. It has 500 megs of great Skywatch info. It's got the PDF copies of my books. We have 21 audio interviews with our staff, over 30 hours of interviews, 8 video clips, including a half-hour interview with me. We have monthly newsletters we put out in PDF format. And it's all available on one CD. That's the Alien Menace CD. We go to our bookstore and just look at some of the stuff. One of my newer DVDs actually that came out just recently is called Media Versus the Flying Saucers: A History of Unidentified Flying Objects as Depicted in the Media. This is a DVD of me speaking at the Aztec 2005 conference in Aztec, New Mexico, where I explore how the government has a depiction of UFOs guides the mass media and why. Why is the question is still open to debate. I demonstrate to report the strange way the media, especially TV, has depicted the entire UFO scene. That's available in audio, video, and DVD from Lost Arts. And all of our CDs, DVDs, and books are available directly from me, or you can contact me by email. You can also send us letter through regular mail, and that address is Skywatch International, at P.O. Box 2154, Elk City, Oklahoma. Zip is 73648. Let me repeat that. Skywatch International, P.O. Box 2154, Elk City, Oklahoma. Zip is 73648. And for information, you can contact Skywatch directly. Email is info, at skywatch-international.org. Okay, back to some sightings here on the Skywatch Hour. Next sighting comes to us from George Filer, Pennsylvania. And this is Indiana, Pennsylvania. Never heard of that little town. But on July 11th, 2005, 11:45 p.m., The witness where I dip in his pool with a couple of his roommates and saw an occasional airplane fly over. They spotted seven lights in a boomerang shape floating north across the sky. There were three steady white lights on each side of the boomerang and one at the point of it. And they watched the lights dim as they went across. And let's see, what else can we find here you might, guys might enjoy reading about? I'm going to go back to some international news before we have to leave you for today. We'll get one more international story in, then we'll give you some more contact information. We'll be out of there. Let's see, we had Argentina. I don't think that's a pretty long report. We may not get into there. Okay, here's a strange one. As you know, I investigate animal mutilations along with UFOs because I feel that there is a strange connection between the two because lights are seen in the sky during many of these cases. You can go to our website or go turn on the History Channel about any time and you can watch the show that we did. Myself and Linda Moulton Howe did an hour-long show showing how we investigate UFOs and cattle mutilations. And it's, if you can't find the show on TV, you can go to our website and you can see a version of it there through your Windows Media Player. Anyway, this is a kangaroo mutilation in Australia. The bodies of a dozen decapitated kangaroos have been found in a suburban golf course. Their bodies were found on the grounds of the golf course at Yarrambat and neighboring areas in the past 2 weeks. The Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals said the attacks were horrific and it's working to find the perpetrator. The police have also been notified. Senior investigators with the society said the attacks are extremely insane. This type of behavior, if a single individual is particularly graphic, is linked to violence against animals with violence to people. It's a very distressing issue. We're asking the community assistance to find out who the perpetrator is. Now, strangely, we have as yet to find any human ever been arrested or even brought in for questioning concerning animal mutilations anywhere in the country. Someday we'll do a special on animal mutilations and some of the history of it on this show. We could fill up an entire show on that easily. One more quick story, then we're going to have to leave you for this episode of the Skywatch Hour. This next one is three cows mutilated in Argentina. The discovery of two bovines found dead under strange circumstances reactivated the mystery that held the country of Argentina hostage 2 years ago when hordes of similar cases became known, and no reasonable explanation was ever found. Three cows were found dead in two fields at Cubanilla, a small community in Argentina's Rio Negro province, 70 kilometers from Vidima. One property contained two sets of bovines located 165 feet from each other. One of the animals found dead on a farm belonging to Luis Guerrero on National Highway 3. All three cows have been relieved of their right eye and ear, which is very common, and the skin of the jawbone have been excised with straight cauterized incisions. It's further missing its tongue and presented a 20-centimeter, approximately 6-inch, orifice on the right side of the nape of the neck. Police officers reported to the scene, and they took microscopic slides and measures. They've never seen anything like it, the report. This has been, of course, translated from Spanish. So we have had a lot of sightings in just this last week, and that's not all of them. That's just the ones we could bring you during this show. If you'd like to get all the reports we get in, go to our website and join our Yahoo group, and we send those out to you directly as we get them in. And that's available at our website at www.skywatch-international.org. I'm the director of Skywatch, and this is Skywatch Hour. And I hope you enjoyed what we're doing tonight, and we'll be with you every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Time here on the Blogin Broadcast Service. And that's at bloginservice.com. And if you'd like to contact me directly, once again, my email address is director@skywatch-international.org. And until next week, as I always say at the end of my shows, keep watching.
You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.